As we go through the book of Hebrews, my son and myself, it's a great privilege to teach this fabulous book. And, you know, the book was written. One president said, character doesn't count. Just what you do in office counts. Well, I totally disagree with that. And then Governor Huckabee wrote a book, said, character does count. These three verses, they're talking about character. And this is what, you know, our phone operators, we handle hundreds and thousands of calls every year. And this is the number one question asked our operators, bar none. People are confused with this verse. The ones that believe you can lose your salvation, called Arminian. Someone says, are you a Calvinist or are you an Arminian? And I say, I'm not either. What? You have to be. No, you don't have to be. There's words, Arminian's not in the Bible and Calvinist's not in the Bible. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminian. I'm a Bibleist. So I don't have to be one or the other. You've got to go to some seminary, to believe that. You just don't believe it by reading the Bible. I believe you can't lose your salvation, but I believe everybody has a free choice. There's nothing wrong with that. See, the Arminians believe you have a free choice, but you could lose it. And the Calvinists believe you don't have a free choice, but you can't lose it. Well, I believe you got a free choice, but you can't lose it. If you thought you could lose it, it couldn't be a gift. A gift that God gives you. Now, you might lose a Christmas gift. Some of you have done that, haven't you? Some of you have lost things or lost your keys. Remember how many times when I'd ask you how many you've lost your keys, and those of you that are honest enough, you'd raise your hand and it'd be about a third of the church, and the other two-thirds are liars? Because everybody's lost their keys sometime. I've really never lost a billfold. I haven't. I've lost keys, but I've never lost a billfold. You say, why is that? Because my wife pins it in. Well, let's look at these verses and let's see what it has to say. Impossible to restore is point one. Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see it all, but it basically says to restore them again. It's impossible. Oh, see? Say, you can lose it. Now, wait a minute. If you can lose it, it says you can't ever get saved again. So if you can lose it, and that's what that verse means, here's my suggestion. Don't anyone ever get saved until they know they're going to die. Because if you lose it, you can't get it back. If that's what that verse means. You got me? You got it? Everybody got that? If you can lose it, you can't get it back. If that's what this verse means, it is impossible. And by the way, adonatos in the Greek means very clearly, well, you can't improve upon the word impossible. It means impossible. It's just impossible. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, some say, well, that means those that were professors and not possessors. No, it's not. It says very clearly these are saved people. So what does it mean? You can't. Listen, I'm going to give you the verses. You can't lose it. You say, well, what does this mean? And do I believe that? Of course I believe that verse. I believe every verse in the Bible. And I believe it was put in the Bible for us to understand what it means. I believe God put it in the Bible so someday at Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church, y'all would have your curiosity piqued to want to know what it means. And all around the world of all the churches that teach the Word of God, which isn't very many of them, most of them just don't do that. Why would you want to teach the Word of God? I couldn't believe the seeker-friendly churches, after all these years of leading all these people, they finally said, we believe that we made a mistake. We should have told people to read their Bibles. Wow. I think I'd be kind of upset after all. Of course, you should have known to read your Bible. Shouldn't have to be told. Now it's time, children. Read your Bible. Wow. It reminds me of a repair shop door. I always get amazed at these kind of things. It says, we can repair anything. Knock loud because our doorbell doesn't work. Those things bug me to no end. Like a fortune teller. I know all things. I tell all things. Please knock loud so I can come to the door. If they know all things, tell all things, you shouldn't have to knock. They just know who you are. They just come out in your car and meet with you. Don't even have to. Why do you give them your name? You say, well, they do really help. They really do help. Yeah, they help all right. Where are they? Where are they? Let's look at Romans 8, 34 through 39. If you have any question, you can lose your salvation. This clears it up. There's no other way to interpret this. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you can read that and you believe you can lose your salvation, you are dumb. Excuse me, but you are dumber than a retarded box of rocks. I wonder who is going to get upset about that one. I had someone got upset because I used the word moron in church. They didn't want their child to hear it. Of course, they took him to the movies. Makes a lot of moronic sense, doesn't it? If you can read that and believe you can lose your salvation, you don't have it here. As my friend Zv said over in Israel, he said, if you don't have it in the head, you got it in the foot. Someone says, explain it. I don't understand. I don't think he does, but it makes sense, doesn't it? If you don't have it in the head, you got it in the foot. These words were evidently written so the Hebrew Christians could understand that it is a very serious thing to turn against Christ. Now, I'm going to keep you kind of hanging a little bit, but it's a very serious thing to turn against Christ. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you said all of us sin every day. There's a difference in sinning every day than when you turn against everything that you know. I've seen people raised in the church, and when they go against the things of God, this verse fits them to a T. When you can turn against the things of God, it's not good. And this is talking about losing it. Losing what? That's what we want to talk about. Losing what? Does that mean losing salvation or losing what? When you lose something, can't find something, what do you do when you lose something? You say, where is it? Where's my glasses? And I'm sure most of you have done, like most of us have done, you have them up here and you can't find them. Now, how many? Come on now. How many have done it? Come on, get your hand up. Come on. Come on, you liars. Get them up. Okay. You got them. I've done it. It's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Well, you know, I'd feel here and they're not here. I don't usually put them up here. That's kind of a stupid place to put them because you don't have four eyes. But we do. In Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I'm reading it again. I know it's another verse, but it says the same thing, but I want you to get it. Mark 10:27, Jesus looking unto them saith, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Once enlightened. And the Christians were considered those that were enlightened. And when you've seen the glorious things of the things of God, I'm not talking about someone that falls. I'm not talking about someone that maybe had a drinking problem, goes back maybe drinking for a short time and had to fight it and work on it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person that turns against God, against the church. I'm talking about a person that does things. I've seen Christians do things that the world would have never done. I've seen Christians get so perverted, they're more perverted than the world, because this verse is true, what we're reading right here. And I tell you, if you have a fear, and you know, Apostle Paul, and it's in the verses today, his biggest fear is that he'd become a castaway. Not lose his salvation, but put on a shelf. Or, you know, a castaway is someone that was put on an island, no way to get off. Our ship stopped at an island. And they own the island. And no other ship can go to that island. And there is a sign that says, this is a private island. You are not allowed on the island. I'm thinking, well, if I was drifting at sea, I'd like to see them stop me. And they had their own private island. Paul did not want to be a castaway. You say, but wouldn't it be great if you just didn't have to do anything but sit on an island? Yeah, you try it for a while. You say, but man, that's great. Well, you go ahead and try it. See how much you like it. See how much you like it. You know, as was said already in our offering about Sal, he said, Christians understand, appreciate what we got to be thankful for more than the world. Christians look out on that gorgeous ocean and say, man, is that beautiful. But the world doesn't do that. The world doesn't do that. The world doesn't understand that. Or not to a great extent, they don't understand it as a great extent. Once enlightened, thoroughly instructed, Christian religion, they receive the knowledge of the truth. They receive the knowledge of the truth. I want to read, this came out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Some say it was hypothetical. This could not happen. If a Christian could lose their salvation, there's no provision for repentance. And that came out of the Ryrie Study Bible. And that's a good answer. Hypothetical. If you could lose it, but you can't lose it, but if you could, then it says that a warning is given of the danger of the Christian moving from a position of truth, faith, and life to the extent of becoming disqualified for further service. And for inheriting the millennial glory, Bible Knowledge Commentary. Well, which one of those do you think is right? I have a great respect for Dr. Ryrie. He comes for our Grace Conference. He's a man that probably is the greatest living scholar in the world today. But I don't totally believe that this is hypothetical. That's okay. That's not a bad answer. That's okay. But I don't think it is. I don't think this is talking of salvation. I think this is talking of service. I think this is talking of discipleship. And if you have tasted, and I'm not talking about you've got sins in your life, we all do, but you go against the things of God, you become an enemy of the church, and you have now put Christ to an open shame, seeing that you're crucifying him again, and you're bringing disgrace upon the church and upon Christ. That's what I think it's talking about. And I say, it says, it is a dangerous thing. When you should be growing, you should be changing, you should set an example for your children, but you don't. I saw children on that ship, and we were on a very family-friendly ship. But I saw children that if they were my children, my heart would shake until it would probably break. The wickedness. And this wasn't considered a wicked ship. And there are some wicked ships. And we're living in a wicked world. And everybody says, man, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does matter. And character does matter. That's what it matters. And I mean, it matters a lot. Point two, how good the Word is. And have tasted the good Word of God and the power of the world to come. And we've seen it. How many of you been to camp or one of our camps? Or how many of you been to a service and you felt the power of God? You've read in the Word and it changed your life. And then all of a sudden, you've got that taste. You know it's real. You know He's real. And then you start letting yourself drift. Why is it that I've never seen anybody leave a church? Any church, not just this church, any church, the wrong way that ever made it. You never hear that they're just doing great. Someone says, why don't you have more of that wild contemporary Christian music? Now listen, I'm not against contemporary music, but I'm against the stuff that doesn't have a message in it that's wild. I'm against it. Someone says, why? Because every church I know that has it doesn't have anything except numbers. They don't have real dedicated people, period. They couldn't build their own building. They can't have their own school. They can't have anything because they don't have dedicated people. If I saw that you could have this weird, wild, wacky music and they were the most dedicated children on earth, I'd give it a consideration. Didn't say I'd do it. I'd just give it a consideration. But I'd give it no consideration because I never see it work. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Give me the old hymns. Give me the hymns, man. I love the hymns. I wish I could sing, but I do love the hymns. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I have kept under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul did not want to be put on a shelf. Fearful. You know, I hope you leave today understanding more than anything on this earth that you don't want to be put away. And there's a point that not because of God, not because you can't, but you won't ever come back to God. I believe you always can. With God, nothing is impossible, but most don't. And they'll longingly look back and say, man, I remember all the things and all the fun that we had. It was great. Boy, I sure miss it, though. But I'll never go back. And they don't. They don't. They're miserable. Oh, they have to convince themselves they're not miserable. Oh, I'm just doing great. How are you? Oh, I've never been happier in my whole life. You liar. You know you can't be happy unless you're serving Christ. It's impossible. I don't have to go around telling people I'm happy. I don't say, you know, you don't run see me on the street. I've never been happier in my whole life. I don't have to say that because I'm happy. You only have to say it when you're not. I had a guy once, I came out of church, he said, I don't believe you should ever kid about your wife in church. I said, well, I wouldn't either if I had the marriage you got. He never said that again. Of course, I never saw him either, but I said, if you can kid, you've got something going. If you can't, you've got a problem. Learning the Word of God. The goodness of God, that word, that the power of the Word, that's the same word that we have for miracles. They've seen God do incredible things. And I've seen God do things that are just unbelievable. I say, man, God is, He's so good. He's so good. The word render power is the word miracles. Did you hear about the company and someone took the stepladder out of the boss's office and he put a sign. He said, whoever took the stepladder, it better be back by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning or further steps will be taken. Pretty brilliant, isn't it? Further steps will be taken. Light is the emblem of knowledge and the holiness and happiness. We're to have light. We're to understand the things of God and partakers of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit Himself witnessing to our spirit that we're saved and we've had that. And then we start going away and we start doing things we shouldn't do. We just start doing things we shouldn't do. We start doing things that just shouldn't be done in the Christian life. And then we start getting away from God. And there's a point that you'll get so hardened that you can't ever be renewed again to your discipleship. This is not talking of salvation. It's the talking of discipleship. And there is a place that you can get that you can't come back. Not because of God, but because of you. And this is a warning. And it's a strong warning. And it's saying, hey, you better be careful. You better really be careful. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. Tasted the good word of God. The gospel being the good word with a good God. A God that really loves us and cares for us. And then, but we can get away from all that. And we get to a point. No, we don't lose our salvation. But we lose a lot of other things, don't we? We lose a lot of other things, don't we? Think of what we lose. A sign that said, church, the front door is the gateway to heaven. Enter this door. And a sign, door locked, too drafty, come in the side. I think if a church said this, you know, there's no one door that's going to get you to heaven. It's, well, one door, yes, it's Christ, but not a door of a church. In John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. 1 Peter 2:3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. These passages that I'm preaching today are the most terrible passages, are the most glorious passage by the way you choose to live your life. What is your choice? What is your choice with your life? Are you going to say, man, I want to, you know, make this count? You know, I see those, so many people on those cruises, and, you know, they have a casino. It wasn't a very big one, but they had it, and the people that were the bad at math were down there. And it was a small one, but and I'd see him, and I'd say, man, that if that's your thing of fun, you don't have much. You imagine sitting there pulling one of those machines? That, to me, is what if I said, okay, the rest of you, all your life, you had to pull one of those machines all through eternity? Well, I'm not going to do that. That'd be stupid. But then you go pay money to do it. Figure that out. It's hard to figure it, isn't it? In John 1:9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And people say, well, if Jesus, if God doesn't call you, you can't be saved. Well, that's true, but he says he lights every man that comes in. He calls everybody. Everybody can be saved. He calls everybody. The Christian is a share of the Holy Spirit. He has a new directive, new power. It can tell us what to do. And give us the power on how to do. And we've had that. Listen, let me tell you what I want to get across and what God wants to get across. Nothing should scare you more than realize that you could get to a point that you can't come back as a servant. Because you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. You're crucifying the Son of God. But the Christian is a person who here and now is tasting the blessedness of the ages to come. We have a foretaste of heaven. Sometimes we know what heaven's going to be like because we get such a foretaste. We have people that are just blessed. We had a lady on our cruise, and she wasn't Jewish, but three of her sisters died during the war of starvation in her mother's arms. And she's seen suffering. She's seen humiliation. And yet, she's found Christ, and she's found peace and happiness that many of us, even in this room, maybe never found. When you go to apply for a job, they say, what did you do in the past? How long did you stay? Why did you leave? If you say, well, I left because the pay wasn't good enough and I'm worth a lot more, goodbye, they don't want you. You say, well, I left because all the other people didn't like me, and they hated me. Goodbye, you're not going to get a job. You say, well, I left because they closed down, or I just didn't feel fulfilled, and I felt like I could contribute more somewhere else, even though I love those people. God's looking at us, and he's saying, what kind of character do you have? What kind of character do you have? What kind of person are you? Now, I'm telling you the truth, and this is the truth. I saw a sign at a health food store the other day, and it says, closed due to illness. Why would anybody put it down? Come on, just say closed. I died or something, but don't put down due to illness. Man, there's some weirdos out there. When you renounce your Christian faith, you're doing the same thing as rejecting Christ in public. Oh, I've seen a lot of Christians get started and they never finish. A lot of people are quitting on jobs. A lot of churches are quitting on jobs. Down in Cape Coral, Florida, there's a whole lot of churches that got started. And now they're selling. They were starting. They had all the wild music and they're all doing all this and that. And all of a sudden, it's up for sale. So why is it up for sale? Well, the people that like the wild music don't believe in giving the greenbacks because they're fleshly people. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. Apply for a job. I was talking to a Muslim this week. He said, well, how long have you been at your church? I said, 37 years. He said, oh, that's pretty good. I said, it's good for me, not for my people, but it's good for me. Bingo held that it was impossible for man, was possible for God, that we must leave those who have fallen away to the mercy of God's singular love. I think there's truth to that. Point three, don't turn away. Here it is, Hebrews 6:6. If they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. That word parapipto, to fall, parapipto, to fall aside. It means to apostatize. It means not to believe like you believed. Way, way, way back when we were first in our brick building that was 8 miles to the south, and I had a family that came to me, and I got hurt so bad. And they said, we're going to have to leave the church because you're quenching the Spirit. I said, well, how am I doing that? Well, we just don't feel the Spirit. Well, if I told you the church they went to, they went from quenching the Spirit to underwater depths because they had no Spirit where they went. And that's what people do. That's what people do. Let me read now. John Calvin really wasn't a Calvinist. Well, that makes them mad, but it's true. But anyway, I want to read from Calvin's commentaries. But it must be noticed that there is a twofold falling away, one particular and the other general. He who has in anything or in any way offended has fallen away from his state as a Christian. Therefore, all sins are so many fallings. But the apostle speaks here not of theft or perjury or murder or drunkenness or adultery, but he refers to a total defection or falling away from the gospel when a sinner offends not God in some one thing, but entirely renounces his grace. And I believe that, don't you? Put him to an open shame. And they get to a point that God can no longer, he said, to renew them again to repentance, it's impossible to renew them again. That's exactly what it's saying. That's exactly what it's saying. And that's what we can't allow to happen. They willfully chosen the kind of belief that nailed Jesus to the cross, that put the nails into his hands and into his feet, and they've chosen that. And they've gone against Christ. And they've said, I am going to be my own boss. I'm going to serve myself, and I'm not going to serve God. And I will put those nails back in his hands one more time. And that, friend, is what this is talking about. This is not talking about losing your salvation, because when he died on the cross, we have our total salvation. It's talking about putting the nails in his hands and his feet all over again because of the way you're living. I want you to get that into your head more than you've ever gotten anything that I've ever preached. That when you turn against Christ, you're putting those nails into his hands and into his feet afresh. And it's disgraceful. And he's already made the payment. It's just like, in my opinion, when a preacher sins, he's on all that they know, they don't have the right to ever be a preacher again. This is similar to what this is talking about. And every preacher I've ever known that ever came back has always fallen again. In any age of persecution, a man can save his life by denying Christ. But it's a body blow. It's a body blow to the church. This is a condemnation of the man who loved life more than he loved Christ. It was never meant to be erected into a doctrine. It's not to teach that there's no forgiveness from post-baptismal sin. But it's a terrible seriousness when we're talking about what we have to do to take Christ in our lives. That's what it's talking about. It's a terrible thing. There's a conception. He saw the cross as an event that opened the windows of heaven, that gave us the power to even taste of heaven down here on this earth, and he saw what that meant. Is it worth it? It's bad enough when church members fall into sin and bring shame to themselves and discredit the church, but it's even worse when we turn against the very God that we believe in and have believed in. Look back at the thought of the writers of Hebrews, and what was he saying? He was saying God always loves you and always will love you, but as a servant of God, you cannot allow yourself ever, ever, ever to fall back because there is no more remedy. He's already paid our sin debt. He's already made it possible for us to taste the heavenly gift, to have the great joys of life. And this is a sin way worse, as Calvin said, of just the sins that he mentioned. But it's a sin way worse. It's a sin when you totally turn your back upon the things of God. And you get to a point that you can't come back. Oh, I believe with God you always can. But he says there's a point that you won't come back. And that's what it says. And if it says it, then I believe it. And that's what I really want to see, because I believe it. Now I want to read out of Barclay's Daily Study Bible. We may note a final thing. It's been pointed out that in the letter to the Hebrews there are four impossible things. The one is in this passage. The other three are, it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin, Hebrews 10:4, and then Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is speaking, and I believe, in 1 Corinthians, if you look at the verses, this will tell you what this verse in Hebrews chapter 6 means. 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 15. If any man build upon this foundation, the foundation is Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, that means declared, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, so what sort it is. If any man's works abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so yet as by fire. Still saved. But you're going to have a loss. And listen, if I could tell you that, oh, it's going to be a fun thing to be at the judgment seat of Christ, we get our rewards or no rewards. It's not going to be very fun, people. It's going to be nasty. Oh, I'm looking forward to finding all those that get saved that we don't even know about. The only way we're going to reach people is through the TV and the radio. That's the only way. Our society has gotten so bad today that you just can't really walk up to tons of people and give them the gospel. They won't hear it. The only way we're going to reach them is through our television. Now, there's always exceptions, and we still do win people to Christ personally, but it's exceptions anymore. It's not the rule. But that is the answer right there. That's what it's talking about. We need to make good Christian choices. God allows us to make decisions. You got to make good choices. When you start seeing yourself going astray, realize that there could be a point that you're still saved, but you're on a shelf, and you're going to, throughout all the millennia, you're going to see what you could have had and you didn't have. You said, well, I'm still going to heaven. Well, yes, that's true, but if you went to some theme park, wouldn't it be better if you were allowed to ride the rides instead of just walk around? You got that? I think that's pretty good because I just thought of it. Friends, that's original. I don't have much original. That's original. That's original. Oh, well, isn't it great? What have you been doing for eternity? Oh, just walking around watching everybody else enjoy their rewards. Well, why didn't you serve him? Well, I didn't think it was important. I thought I was going to heaven anyway. Why not? Why try? You wish you hadn't done that? Oh, man, I do wish I hadn't done that. I want to have rewards in heaven. I want to enjoy the rides. Make good choices. Someday every Christian's going to stand before the Bema seat or judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to give an account. What we've done, whether it be good or bad, we're going to have to give an account. Now, the most important thing I can give you, and I want you to see this, this billfold represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. You can't even take one sin to heaven. It's impossible to get to heaven even by one sin. This hand right here represents Christ. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And if we could be as righteous as God, we can go to heaven. Not because we're good, but because he was perfect. And he died in my place. The only way old, filthy, stinking Jim Scudder will ever go to heaven is because Christ died for my sins. That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. Look over at my right and your left, if you would, please. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should. Isn't that something? Any man should boast. It's a gift. God's going to look at you and me as without sin. He's paid our sin debt. No boasting. Now, I want you to understand this is going out all over the world right now. I want you to be praying that people see it all over the world and trust Christ. The wickedness of our world. People are saying, I don't know. But listen, there's a God that loves you, wants to save you.